Dhaliwal takes the headset off and leaves. I guess that means that's it.
Obviously, a tone was set many years ago when he was dealing with Brian Burke.
I would wonder. He just walked right out.
I wonder. Brian Burke joins us here this morning. Brian, do you remember Rick Dhaliwal at all?
Yep.
Maybe that's why Rick just left.
Ran out of the room. It's like he got nervous knowing you were coming on. By the way, thank you so much for hanging out with us this hockey season.
My pleasure. Appreciate it.
Put me through the mind of a GM now that we've had a few weeks to watch this Canucks team. And Travis Green, you know, saying all the right things, but I think he almost sensed some disappointment that there's an opportunity for some young guys to take advantage of some spots, and nothing has happened. How long do you wait as a GM, Brian, for guys to wait around? I'll speak of a Nikolai Goldobin, who had his chance in San Jose, had a run here of 38 games, and hasn't been any kind of a difference maker. Has that become the tough decision for a GM at this point? Go, how long do we wait for kids? How many years can you wait?
Well, first, I think you have to look at a body of work. And so sometimes the media is looking at, okay, we've been in camp now for 21 days or whatever, however many days, and this guy hasn't shown us anything. Whereas Jim Benning, his knowledge of this player, familiarity with this player, probably goes back 5 years to his junior days. So this is a guy who was a low-effort guy, even in junior for me, a low-energy guy, but he got a lot done nonetheless. You know, there's some guys who have pretty good NHL careers that don't look like they're working hard all the time. So this guy was an enigma to me in junior because he didn't look like he was trying, and then you get to the end of the game, he'd have 5 points. And I remember one night I went in specifically to watch him, and I thought he didn't break a sweat. And then I look at the score sheet, he had 4 points. So I think the answer to your question is different players take different times. You know, Ty Ratty appears to be having a great start with Edmonton. It's taken him a while. And so you can't quit on guys too soon. But the answer, you're talking a real fine line. Like, just how long do you wait? You got to have a better feel for the player than I do.
So when you get to this, point here, we're less than a week away, and there's one more preseason game. You've got your guys on the bubble. You know, at this point in time, and I remember you and I talking years back, you had made the point that going into camp every year, the head coach, whoever that may be, will come to you and say, there's one guy I don't want on this team this particular year, and as a GM, you got to move that out. But here, when we are just days away and there's one and guys are on the bubble, is it more the GM's call to who they want on this roster, or is it the coach's call as to who they want on the roster?
Well, certainly from my perspective, you're going to fire the coach if he doesn't win enough games. So you better let him pick the roster. It's very seldom that I interfere with a player selection issue with the coach. Sometimes, you know, and that meant sometimes he's going to sit out a high pick of yours and make you look bad. But that to me is, okay, if I look bad, it's because I picked the wrong player. It's not the coach's fault. You dress the lineup that gives us the best chance to win tonight. So my guess is that Benji would say to Travis, you're picking the team, but I want to talk about at least a couple of these guys that are on the bubble, tell you what our thinking is, because, again, Travis might only have seen these guys for this training camp, whereas the organization's knowledge of this player go back 2, 3, 4, 5 years. So, you know, I'd say to the coach, look, you're going to pick the lineup, but let's talk a little bit, because you haven't seen in this one kid what we all think is there. So we might have to arm wrestle over that one.
And have you ever had where you've overruled?
Yep.
Is there an example?
Yep.
You want to share it
Give
with
us a
please?
Name?
Colt Knorr. I didn't like the way we were playing in Toronto when I told the coaching staff Colt Knorr is going to dress every night. And, you know, the game was going more skill, more speed, and Colton's a big battleship guy, and they didn't like it, but I said, that's on me. You pick the other 11 forwards, but you're dressing him.
Will it be difficult for Jim to be, you know, this fan base as well as anybody? And I think people were expecting more young guys to show up and prove more. But there's a pretty good understanding that an Ole Yolevi, maybe an Adam Gaudette, who knows, but those guys going down and playing an awful lot of 20 minutes of hockey in Utica is going to be a good thing. If the team up here struggles, Brian, will there be more of a panic or pressure, do you think, on Jim to go, hey, it would be great if those guys could have 5 months, but it's December 1st, the team of veterans up here is struggling. we're going to have to bring him up now. We're going to have to take the turkey out of the oven. It's supposed to be in there for 4 hours, but it's been 3:30. It'll still be okay. You think that pressure will come?
Yes, but I think this is what's great and what's terrible about a Canadian market. You asked me that question in September. What do we do if it goes off the rails in 6 weeks? And that's what Canadian fans, that's why it's so great to work in Canada if you're a GM, and that's why it's so hard to work in Canada if you're a GM. Everyone's assuming that the team has struggled in the preseason, they can't score goals, so everyone's assuming they're going to have a poor start, which, by the way, I think is a fair assumption. I think they are going to have a tough time. But I think they're taking the right steps to do the rebuild. If a defenseman's not ready, he can't play in the NHL. You can't learn. That's not the best learning place for a young defenseman. If he needs time, he needs time. Forwards are a little different. But I don't know how long they can afford to be patient. They're doing a lot of the right things. I think that's what people have to realize. If you're a season ticket holder in Vancouver, which I was for years, even after I left as a GM, they're doing a lot of right things. Some of these kids you see are legit. They're going to be fine.
How do you sell that? How do you sell that patience, though, I guess, at this point in time, where when the kids aren't ready yet, or for all intents and purposes for this year, where you got to say, you know, be prepared for more pain, I guess.
Well, I said this the other day to someone, a hockey person, just we were talking, and I said, all you have to do is look east. Look in Winnipeg. The GM there didn't make the playoffs, I think, for 4 or 5 years. Everyone was saying, we're terrible. Now they have a good team, and they're going to be good for a while. And that's the same steps I see that Vancouver's taking now. And again, I don't work for the Canucks. I have no loyalty or allegiance to anyone. No, like the owners of the team didn't own the team when I was there.
Yeah.
And, you know, so this is not a company sales job. I'm going to tell you exactly what I think, how they play and what they're doing. But I think they're taking a lot of the right steps. I believe that.
Well, but I think the difference, if I was to argue with you, with the Jets is ownership, where there's a patience. People are okay, we've got a hockey team back here in the NHL, or you know the deal here. Since 1970, haven't been able to get it. And I would think the Aquilinis would go, man, guys, we can't wait. I don't want the negativity. Bring the kids up now. Because I think this fan base, Brian, is willing to watch Ilya Levy make mistakes, maybe a Jonathan Dahlin play and learn on the fly, rather than seeing veterans leave the ice with a 4-1 loss.
Yeah, that could be, but I think it's really hard for defensemen to learn on the job. I think if you're in a live fire drill, regular season NHL games, the game is so fast. If you're a young defenseman and you're not there mentally yet and you're not there physically yet where you can contribute, I think it's a real, real tough kindergarten myself. I'd rather the guy play in the minors, but I don't know how patient ownership is going to be. I'm not familiar with how they do things there.
Brian Burke with us here on Sportsnet 650. We've talked about trying to manage expectations on the downside with a team that's still trying to find their way here in Vancouver. Conversely, on the other side of the country where you call home these days, in Toronto right now, I mean, it's fever pitch, the hype, the expectation, and it's just nonstop. And, you know, last night, Mitch Marner has a four-point night. It's, you know, it's Tavares another night. It's Matthews another night. How do you, for a roster with so many young players and everybody outside is screaming, Stanley Cup, oh my God, this is the year. What would you say to the kids or the guys on the roster in terms of trying to manage those expectations? Or do you say anything?
I think they're, I just was on the radio in Calgary this morning, and I was saying the year we won the Cup in Anaheim, we talked about it in training camp, which you're not supposed to do. And everyone's like, no, it's bad karma. And we're like, guys, we're legit. We're going to play like we're legit. I think we had a point in each of the first 16 games. We recorded a point. You're a winner, recorded a point. So, like, I think there comes a point where you have to welcome those expectations and manage them. Now, it's crazy here. Like, there's people on Bay Street right now measuring to see if the floats will fit under the railroad bridge. It's crazy here right now. But I don't think it's unreasonable. The same thing happened in Vancouver when we got up around 100 points. The expectations in the marketplace changed, and losing in the first round wasn't good enough. And 100 points wasn't good enough because we didn't find playoff success. But I think that's a healthy thing. I think the fact that people expect good things out of us, about for this team to have good things happen, I think that's a good thing. And I think Mike Babcock, having, you know, managed and won a Stanley Cup in Detroit, having been with the Canadian Olympic program, had success. I think he knows how to manage this. But, I mean, they got lots of weapons. They're scoring lots of goals.
You said you wanted an Anaheim with Corey Perry. As a GM, what do you do? I mean, it's tough news. The injury shows up. He's gone for 5 months. That salary goes off the books. I think we're going to see, you know, those guys who win Stanley Cups, they get paid for it. And Corey gets paid. He's put a lot of miles on his body. Is that a tough spot to be in? Do you look at moving a guy like that when he gets back? Or have some guys just earned their dues, Brian, and he's got the money and you play it out?
Well, I think there's a fine line. I think there's some players that have been so important to your cause, and such a, you know, like Stan Smeal comes to mind. Like, Stan couldn't have gone anywhere else for me. Like, it would have broken my heart. A guy that really, the franchise was, like, people forget with Trevor Linden and Pavel Bure and everything, but when in the early 80s, and when I got there in 87, Stan Smeal was the team. He was a great player. He was a great leader. And some guys, I think, earn the right to finish their career one place. The rest of the guys, not so much. And the players always say there's not any loyalty in sports. Well, there isn't much. There's some. Players get free agency. They're always anxious to test it and see what they can find, and you can't fault them for that. And that's why I will never criticize a team for exercising its rights to the max under the collective bargaining agreement. So with Corey, I think it'd be hard to move at his salary. I can tell you he was a wonderful player for me when I had him. That guy would do anything. He would pay any price for a scoring chance. He would take a shot falling down knowing that as soon as the puck left his stick, he was getting drilled into the goalpost. He could care less. If he had a chance of going in, he was going to take that chance. So here's a guy with – he's got lots of miles on the odometer because he plays the right way.
We're thrilled that you're on every Thursday. When we announced it, a lot of people were texting in the best Brian Burke liners. They referred to Peter Schaefer, tell, I hope he has a good TV in Finland. We forgot who you said you'll drive to the airport if you can get $1 million.
I didn't.
Craig Klatt.
Yeah, no, I, for some reason I thought it was Peter Schaefer.
No, I would have driven Peter too, but it was Craig
Klatt. Hey, listen, you've got a lot of one-liners. Did you ever finish a press conference and go back in the organization and go, oh, you know, I don't know where that one came from, but that was an absolute beauty. If you had to give the top one or two lines that you've delivered to the press about a player with a sarcastic note, do you have one that...
I don't plan them. I certainly don't script them out. Like, one of the ones that people remember from Vancouver is it would take to move this team is a quarter and a payphone.
Yeah.
And kids today would laugh at that because they don't even know what a payphone is.
It's true. But you have to be with the times.
I was really angry at a reporter. He said, well, that's garbage about moving the team. I'm like, you know how hard it would be to move this team? All it would take is a quarter and a payphone. I was barking at him. I certainly didn't script it or think it up. It was a reaction to a stupid question. The Trent Klatt line, I just didn't think he'd get the money, and he got 3 years instead of one. I looked stupid on that one.
Where did he go? Was that when he went to Minnesota? He went to L.A. LA. Yeah.
Yeah. And I said, the agent said, I can get 3 years at $1 million. I said, well, if you can get that, I'll drive to the airport. He got it. So good for Klatter. We joke about it when I see him.
Are you saying that none of, like, Sedin's not Swedish for punch? That wasn't scripted?
Come on.
That one was scripted because I did a press conference. We were trying to swing the officiating in that playoff series. We went up 2-0 in that series, and then we lost the next two games. And we were – you're playing Detroit, so you're going to have to kill an extra penalty every night. They got all the breaks. They were an elite team. And elite teams earn those breaks, in my mind. So we talked as a team. We said, look, we're going to have to kill one more penalty every night than they are. John McCaw, after the second game, was incensed at the officiating. And he said, I want you to say something. I said, no, we're up 2-0. Then Danny Cloutier let the Lidstrom goal go in and started to go south. So I thought, after it got to 2-2, I had to do something to try and influence. I got fined heavily by the league for that. I
remember that, yeah.
Did you have to pay for that?
But I said,
the team paid for that, no?
No, the team paid it. The league does a smart thing. Part of that fine was conditional. So it's like, you stay out of trouble for the next 24 months. We won't collect the rest of it. If you say something stupid again, we're going to collect this one, and we're going to double the next one.
For 2 years, 24 months?
Yeah.
And how did you do?
I didn't get fined again. I mean, I came close, I'm sure, but...
Walking the line. Thanks, Berkey. We appreciate this. Everybody is thrilled that you're on board. Our text line lights up when you're here. And, you know, we've come a long way since we were maggots and scumbags. But if you can just humor us.
Hang on. That quote was actually a positive quote about the media. What I said was, the vast majority of the members of the media are honest, hardworking people who try to get it right and do a great job. But there's a handful of scumbags and maggots that ruin it for the rest. You guys on the dark side only ever play the tail end of that quote.
Well, it sounds better, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It sounds way better with just that part.
By the way, I stand by the comment. I don't care which side I'm on. I stand by the comment.
I'll race you to go find a payphone here at some point today, all right?
Well, all right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Turkey.